You know, every day we express faith in different ways, but we express faith throughout the course of a given day. And it always amazes me that we can express faith in very complex issues and in difficult circumstances that we think we understand, but when it comes to trusting God with big issues, sometimes we struggle with that. For example, we go to the doctor, he investigates and evaluates and he checks us all out and he says, here's my diagnosis of your problem. I want you to go to the pharmacy. I want you to get this medicine and this medicine. I want you to take the medicine according to my directions. And whatever the doctor says, we take that advice that he gives. We take that prescription. We go to the pharmacy. We start taking pills. We really don't know a lot about the doctor. We don't know a lot about the pills. But we have faith in the principle and the concept and the medical institution. And just by faith, we do what the doctor says. How many of you have done that in the last, say, 6 months? Let me just get an idea, all right? You don't know the doctor that well. You don't know a lot about the medicine. You just put your faith in his word. How many of you understand that when we get on an airplane, we're putting our faith in an airline, in a pilot, we're just putting our faith in the whole deal? This past week, when we began to go down to Costa Rica with the young people, we went to an airline. I was told it was United Airlines. I always feel comfortable flying something that sounds a little more American when I'm going foreign like that. And I got to the place, and it wasn't United Airlines at all. It was an airline called Taka Airlines. Taka, I'm sure, is good airlines. I just never flown it before, didn't know a lot about it. And I said, all right, well, we're on Taka Airlines. And then we got to the Taka desk, and they said, well, you're not going to fly Taka, you're going to fly Laksa. Now, I had heard of Taka, I think, once, but I had never heard of Laksa. And they told me the story. They had merged together, and I thought, well, that's okay. I don't know if they both had problems, that's why they merged, or what the situation was, but I was just a little nervous about flying on an airline I had never heard of, so I went over to the counter to get on the Laksa Airlines, and I called Brother Jeremy Whitman, who made the reservations for me, and I said, Brother Whitman, what is this, like Laksa luck, Pastor? Is that what you're trying to tell me, or, you know, what's the deal here, you know? And we got onto the airplane, and we flew, and we put our faith in Laksa Airlines. We put our faith in everybody who works there and in the pilots. And it's just amazing how we'll put our faith in the things of this world, but sometimes we don't put our faith in the creator of the world. The kids had a busy plan for the trip down there in Costa Rica, and on Tuesday, a part of the plan was to go to the rainforest and to get onto the zip line and ride down a zip line through the rainforest. I want to tell you a little bit about that. We got to the mountain, we rode the tractor going up the hill. As we rode up the hill, everyone was having fun and laughing. They had strapped us into some kind of mountain type gear, and then you had to take a strap and hook yourself to this metal cord. All of that sounded okay. My wife had made an early on decision she would not have part in it. We got there, and sure enough, there's a cord of steel wrapped around a big tree at one end, and about a quarter of a mile down, it's wrapped around another tree. And I just began to have apprehension about it. I went up to the fellow that was kind of the guide of it, and I began to ask questions. I wanted to know, do they inspect this, like OSHA? You know, I'm not really a fan of OSHA unless I'm about ready to jump on a wire and go down through the rainforest. And I was trying to ask him, do you inspect this? He said, no inglés, no inglés. I tried inspectorio, inspecto. I tried everything I knew, and I was getting nowhere. And finally, I had the missionary come over, and he asked them, and they said, oh, yes. And they said, the tourism industry inspects that. I didn't know what to think about that, but at least they did inspect it. That's when they came over to me, and they began to say some things to the missionary in Spanish about my size. I understood some of the words. They weren't really flattering words. They said, he needs an extra harness and a safety hook. I began to think, you know, I don't think any attorney in their right mind would advise me to ride on this ride. They gave me the extra harness. They gave me the safety hook. And that's when I noticed the missionary looked to be about 20, 30 pounds heavier than me. And we have supported him for a long time. He's a good friend. I said, Brother Bordell, I just think since we're all new at this, you should go first. So he hooked up and he went. I mean, it sagged quite a bit when he went down. 5 to 10 stories above the ground we were, and the river raging below, and he went down, and all the kids thought it would be fun if Pastor went second. And so I jumped on, and there I was in Central America, trusting a zip line that was attached to a tree on either end, hoping to get me safely to the other side. Now, why is it in life we're willing to trust man-made devices and we struggle in trusting God? And today I want to speak to you about a man named Abraham who trusted God in a way that I don't think any of us can fully understand, but I think all of us can learn from his challenge to us today. Abraham was a man of great faith. We learn about this throughout the scriptures. I want you to notice in your notes, and you may want to have your hand open to Hebrews 11 through this message. Notice in Hebrews 11 and verse number 8, what the Bible says about Abraham's faith. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now as we read in the book of Genesis, we find God calling Abraham out. God calls him out of a place called the Ur of the Chaldee. We know that to be modern day Iraq. God called him over towards an area we know to be modern day Israel. God called Abraham out. The Bible says in verse 8 specifically, the word called, it means to invite. And the Bible says specifically in verse 8, the word obey. That word means to submit. Abraham submitted to the calling of God. I want you to know, friend, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is calling you out. God is calling you unto Himself. And when you receive Christ as Savior, you are putting your total faith in Him to be your Savior, the forgiver of your sins. Abraham believed God when he did not know where, when he did not know how, when he did not know when, and when he did not know why. It was faith in God's word that made Abraham leave his home, live as a pilgrim, and follow God wherever he went. Abraham trusted in the word of God. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his hopes and his dreams and his plans in order to follow his God. I want you to notice in the first place this morning then, the request from the Lord. Notice the request that the Lord gave to Abraham or made to Abraham. The Bible says in verse number 1, he did tempt Abraham. And in verse 2 it says, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." Now we notice in the first place, this was a call to testing. This was a call to testing. The Bible says God did tempt Abraham. God did test Abraham. We learn from this the nature of spiritual trials, the nature of spiritual testing, that through our lifetime, God will allow experiences to draw us closer to Him. This would be an evaluation of his soul's commitment. This would be an opportunity to evaluate the depth of his faith in God. You see, true faith will go into operation when there are no answers. When we do not understand the outcome, we are simply willing to trust God. And God will bring us many times into deep waters, not to drown us, but to cleanse us and to prepare us for the greater opportunities ahead. I love what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Bible says, "But he will with the temptation also make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it." Please understand, if you're under a heavy load today, if you're going through a testing time today, that God is allowing this for your betterment, and that God will make a way of escape, and that God will honor his word. It was a call to testing. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Abraham's faith was being tested by the fiery trials of this test, that he might come forth as gold. I thank God for the testimony this morning of Dr. Lee Robertson, a 97-year-old man who preached the gospel until the last final days of his life, who never wavered in his faith, who stayed faithful to God, faithful to his wife, and faithful to his calling 97 years long through the testings. In a letter he wrote me, I read this morning, he said, there have been difficulties, but there have been so many more blessings. Oh, I think about the testings of his faith. I think about the story of Dr. Robertson having a baby girl whose name was Joy. Joy was born, and just a few hours after her birth, her life was taken from her. God called the baby home. It was a great moment of testing in the life of Dr. Robertson. Why, he had been faithful to God. He had been preaching God's word faithfully. And here this trial came. And it was from that trial that God put into his heart an idea to go outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, to buy a piece of property and to establish a Christian camp called Camp Joy. That camp for more than 30 years has been a place for 3,000 teenagers every summer to attend, a place where they could have fun and hear the stories of Jesus Christ and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and do it all free of charge. And since that time of Joy's death, thousands upon thousands of young people have accepted Jesus Christ because of one man who passed the test, because of one man who kept the faith during the difficult time. Abraham was going to have his faith tested. But not only is it a call to testing this morning, but we are also going to see it is a call to sacrifice. It is a call to sacrifice. You see, the fact of the matter is that Christianity and living for Jesus is not a cheap affair. It's not something that we ought to look at as just a simple thing. But sometimes there's a cost attached to following God. The Bible says, and Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In verse 2, the Bible says of Genesis 22, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Here is one of the greatest challenges of faith I have ever read of in my entire life. I mean, you read through Genesis, you read the creation account, you read the flood account, you read these marvelous stories, and there are stories of wonder, there are stories of amazement. But you come to Genesis 22 and you hear God telling Abraham to offer up his own son, and you must stop and you must say, what a tremendous request. For he was being offered as the promised seed. You see, Isaac was the promised seed. God had promised Abraham that from you I am going to bless all nations. From you I am going to bring in my own people, the children of Israel, the people after mine own eye. Genesis 15 and verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. We refer to this passage as the Abrahamic covenant. God had promised Abraham that from this son there would be thousands and millions of people who would bring into being a nation. And this was the promised seed that was being offered. This was the promised son that was being offered. God had miraculously provided a son to Abraham. Many of you know the story. Sarah was well beyond the age of childbearing. And it was impossible, humanly speaking, for Isaac to be born in the first place. And now God was requesting that Isaac be offered on Mount Moriah. The Bible says back there in Hebrews 11 and verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah was up in years. Someone said, you know you're getting older when in the morning you hear snap, crackle, and pop, and it's not your cereal. And Sarah, no doubt, in her upper years, the Bible says that she laughed. She couldn't believe what God said. She could not comprehend having a baby. And yet, with God, all things are possible. And Sarah received strength from the Lord. And Sarah brought Isaac into the world. And now God is telling Abraham, bring Isaac up to Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is seen on the map just to the west of the Dead Sea. It would become a holy place. It would become a place that by the very mention of it, the sacrifice of Abraham, the willingness of Abraham, and the simple faith of Isaac would be remembered for thousands of years. The request of the Lord. It was a request that brought a time of testing into Abraham's life. But notice secondly this morning, the response of obedience. The response of obedience. I am humbled by Abraham's response. And I want you to see it in verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. I want you to notice that Abraham's response was immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. Abraham didn't cry or moan or complain or try to manipulate. Abraham simply obeyed God. How many of you know that delayed obedience is disobedience? Let's say that together. Delayed obedience is, you tell your son, son, empty the trash. You come back 20 minutes later, he's in his room playing a game of some kind, and you say, son, has the trash been emptied? He says, no. He says, I was going to do that later. You had not discussed a later. You had not negotiated a later. You had not agreed upon a later. You had told him to take out the trash. 20 minutes later, the trash has not been taken out. Guess what? He has been a disobedient son. He's delayed his obedience, which is disobedience. But Abraham did not delay his obedience. Abraham immediately obeyed God. You see, the Bible says in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And Abraham trusted God and immediately did what God had told him to do. God had promised that there would be a blessing upon his life through Isaac's seed. Abraham, no doubt, was brokenhearted. No doubt, this was a challenge beyond comprehension. But his faith in the initial promises of God never wavered. And so he did exactly what God had called him to do. The Bible speaks of his trust in verse 5. It says, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Notice the next phrase. And come again to you. Abraham had full confidence that no matter what it would take, God was going to provide a seed for his people, and God was going to somehow bring this Isaac's life, even if it meant back from the dead, he was going to come back down off of that mountain with Isaac, his son. Notice in Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Notice verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And so we see Abraham taking Isaac up the mount, willing to sacrifice him. Even if that meant sacrificing his life, Abraham believed somehow he would be resurrected from the dead. And so he leaves his servants and supplies at the base of the hill, and he goes up to honor and worship his God. And I want you to notice what Isaac is doing. The Bible tells us in verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac. In verse 6, we see a picture of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we refer to this as typology, or a type in the Old Testament, a picture of something in the New Testament. When we see Isaac walking up the hill, going up to Mount Moriah, bearing the wood, we see a picture here of Jesus Christ going up Golgotha, bearing the cross of Calvary. Isaac is a picture of Jesus willingly going to the cross. For John 19:17 says, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Isaac went up the hill in total innocence. The Bible says in verse 7, he says to his father, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? With complete innocence, Isaac went up the hill. And I say to you that with complete innocence and without sin, Jesus Christ went up the hill of Calvary to shed his blood so that we might have our sins forgiven. With immediate obedience, Abraham did what God had called him to do. May we be a people who obey every impulse of God. When God tells us to forgive, may we immediately forgive. When God tells us to witness, may we immediately witness. When God challenges us in the Christian life, in any realm, may we learn from Abraham to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Notice not only immediate obedience, but notice secondly, faithful obedience. Faithful obedience. The Bible says in verse number 8 concerning Abraham's faith, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. He said, Isaac, God is going to honor his word. God is going to do exactly what he said he would. Oh, the life that follows God is to be a life of faith. I think of Adoniram Judson, the first Baptist missionary ever to go to the country of Burma. Adoniram Judson, upon arrival at Burma, began witnessing. He began learning the language. He did all that he could, but to no avail. In fact, for 7 years, Adoniram Judson preached in Burma without one convert. By many standards, he was not a success. In fact, during that 7 year period, he was placed in jail. While he was in jail, his wife was shipped back to America. There alone in Burma, in a Burmese prison with 35 pounds of weight around his ankles and his hands, with a common criminal next to him, he heard the question from the criminal. The criminal looked at Judson and said, "What about the prospect of converting the heathen now?" Judson looked the man back in the eyes and said, "The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God." And by the time Judson left Burma, there were over 10,000 people who had accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and dozens of churches sprawling throughout the country. Why? Because of a man who passed his test. Because of a man who kept the faith. Because of a man who believed that God said His word would be honored and he would not quit until the word of God was honored. Oh, we thank God. You see, a faith that is not worth testing, is not worth trusting. And I know many of you have burdens today, but there is a God in heaven who will sustain you if you will keep your trust in Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says it this way, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Hebrews 11, 6, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." I'm trying to tell you this morning, God is looking for some men and some women who will keep faith in Him, and who will keep trusting Him, and who will keep believing in Him. Even when you don't understand everything going around you, that you'll keep on walking in faith, believing. I remember when our North Auditorium was finished. What an exciting time. 1994 and 95, the church grew by 400 and by 500 in those 2 years respectively. It was a time of amazing growth and challenging responsibilities. I remember looking out on that building within weeks of finishing it and realizing we have built too little of a building. And God began to burgeon that building out, and we had two services. Then we moved teens out and this group out and this group out. And I realized we were going to need to build. And I began to pray, and I said, "Lord, the folks have given so sacrificially, and it's been such a journey already, and I just didn't know that I wanted to," but God began to impress upon my heart that it was time. I began to seek counsel from men of God. One of those men was Dr. Lee Robertson. I remember as he preached in that building, and as I spoke to him and sought his counsel, the words he gave to me over at the Desert Rose Restaurant on Sierra Highway, he looked at me across the table and said these words, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God." I'm telling you today, this building is here because of men of God, because of people of God who have had faith in God to believe that while it may have seemed impossible to build a $5 million building after just completing a $3 million building in a difficult recessionary period in our economy, while it may have looked like an impossibility to do that in that era, with God, all things are possible. We must have faith in God. The response of obedience. Abraham walked up that mountain and he said, "Isaac, let's just trust the Lord for this one. Let's keep our faith in God during this time." Notice, if you would, finally this morning, not only the request from the Lord, not only the response of obedience, but I want you to see the result of faith. What happens when people put their faith in God? What happens when people keep trusting? Verse number 9, "And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar of wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." We see in the first place Abraham preparing the sacrifice. By faith he's doing what God had called him to do. Now please note in verse 9, as Abraham lays Isaac upon the altar, we are here witnessing the moral elevation of his trial. The moral elevation of the trial. We are now at the point of decision. We are now at the place where Abraham truly expressed his faith. And I wonder, when we come to those times in our own lives, are we willing then to trust God? Isaac here is a picture again of Jesus Christ laying himself down willingly on the altar. Verse 9 gives no indication of an argument, no indication of a question. All we see is simple obedience. And we are once again reminded of Jesus Christ. The Bible says of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Even as Isaac laid down on that altar, Jesus laid down on the cross so that he might bear the sins of the entire world. Abraham prepared the sacrifice. Isaac willingly laid down. But notice secondly, if you would, God provided a replacement. God provided a replacement. Verse 11, the Bible says the angel of the Lord called Abraham. The angel of the Lord said, Abraham, I know you've got that knife raised up. I know you're ready to take the life of your own son in complete faith and obedience. But Abraham, hold it right there. God has seen your faith. You have passed the test. And over here in a thicket, in the bushes, you're going to find there's a sacrifice. There's a substitute. You don't have to take the blood of Isaac. There's a ram that has been provided. Isaac was spared and a ram caught in the thicket was given in its place. Abraham was willing, but God provided a lamb in his stead. Oh, do you understand that as Isaac was spared, an entire nation was preserved, that God's promise was preserved in the life of Abraham? Now, please take note. God is much more likely to reward our obedience with an explanation than he is to give an explanation to encourage our obedience. God wanted Abraham to trust him and then see. He was not going to give all the answers first, so that Abraham could then make his decision, for that would not be faith. But when Abraham put faith in the word of God, then he got to see the ram in the thicket. Then he got to take Isaac off the altar. Then he placed the ram on the altar and took the life of that ram. You see, I want you to recognize in this story a wonderful picture of what Jesus Christ has done for us. You see, God has provided a lamb for us, and his lamb offers atonement for us. Have you ever stopped to ponder this fact? I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. Jesus did not deserve Calvary. Jesus was without sin. He didn't deserve to hang on the cross in the midst of common thieves, but he did that in my stead. He did that for me. Isaac did not deserve to lay on that altar, and God said, I'm going to give a substitution. And so he gave the ram. And God says, though we deserved to suffer and die, there is a substitution for us. And Jesus died in our stead so that we do not have to pay for our sin, so that we do not have to spend eternity in hell. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for us. You see, that's why John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus in John 1:36, simply said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ came to die as the Lamb of God. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18, for as much as you know that you were redeemed not with corruptible things, such as gold and silver from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. You see, it was the blood that was shed that brought covering for your sin and mine. Lauren McCain was one of the students killed at Virginia Tech, April 16th, 2007. Lauren McCain was killed April the 16th by a troubled man, apparently deranged, and a man filled with wickedness in his heart. The freshman from Shawnee, Oklahoma, left a powerful statement of faith on her personal website. Lauren said this, and I quote, the purpose and love of my life is Jesus Christ. 20-year-olds, do you hear this? The purpose and love of my life is Jesus Christ. I don't have to argue religion. I don't have to argue philosophy or historical evidence because I know him. Because I know him. Lauren McCain knew Jesus Christ. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. She knew that her sins had been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And because of that, she is now with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want you to understand this morning is that even as Abraham took the ram and took Isaac off of the altar and put the ram on the altar and the blood was shed, so you and I, who deserved to pay for our own sin, had someone come in substitutionary manner, and his name was Jesus Christ. And though he did not deserve to die, he shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could have a home in heaven. And that is why Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God, because he came to shed his blood for us. That's why Abraham said in verse 14, the name of this place shall be called Jehovah Jireh, which means God has provided. And my friend, God has provided. And I wonder, has there been a time in your life when in your heart you receive what he has provided? When you realize, yes, I'm a sinner, I deserved the cross, but Jesus went there for me, and he shed his blood for me. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and his blood was applied to your account, and your sins were forgiven, and you recognized on that day, God has provided a lamb for you. And has there been a time when you prayed and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven, but I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior. Oh, listen, the Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We must simply believe that he has provided for us. If you've never made that decision to trust Christ as Savior, I pray that you will today, that you will receive him as your Savior. May I say, if you're a Christian here this morning and you say, yes, I have accepted Christ, I know that Jesus is the Lamb of God. May I say, if you're experiencing some test, some trial, it may be something small, it may be job related, it may be something big, it may be family related, it may be completing a commitment made financially, it may be in some dream you have for a business, it could be so many different things. But I want to say to you this morning that if you keep your faith in God and you intend to honor him through this time, God will provide for you, and God will honor your faith. He's looking for people today who will diligently seek him. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As Abraham journeyed up Mount Moriah, may we journey through the Antelope Valley this week with hearts of faith, nothing wavering, only trusting in Jesus.